Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
On any given day, any team can be a winner, any team a loser. On any given day, you can excel above all expectations, or you can choke. It all comes down to one thing, pressure. So who will handle the pressure today?
All that incredible pressure!
Let's flick the switch and go live to a stadium buzzing with fans, ready to scream their team home. Welcome. Triple M NRL.
Those fans ready to scream their team home this afternoon. 3:05, that's kickoff. Mount Smart Stadium, the Warriors taking on the Titans. Two teams, first up winners 2018. Not probably the result most people were expecting come them second round. They are winners from the first round. Play each other this afternoon. Peter Sterling will be in at in half an hour to join us as we lead up to that game. Of course, he'll be there for the call as well. The boys are with us, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, and it is time for this.
What does the fox say?
Fox air. Give it to me, Jimmy Fox. It's Saturday and it's Irish Day. Let's go St. Paddy's Day.
a happy St. Patrick's Day to all of those Irish and Wendell Saylor as well. What do you got for us,
Big? To be sure.
Terrific game of football last night, and one of the real standout forwards for the Brisbane Broncos was young Tevita Pangai Jr., who started in the front row. I love the story about how he came to be at the Brisbane Broncos. So he was playing at the Canberra Raiders. He was a young gun who had been identified as a star of the future, and he personally went and sought out Wayne Bennett's telephone number, rang Wayne off his own bat, said, "I'd like to come and play for you if that's a possibility." Wayne says, good as gold, no problem. The Broncos then flew him up to Brisbane Airport. He signed the contract at the airport, crack bang, and that was how he ended up being there. So, yeah, he's a terrific player with immense potential, Wendell.
Well, remember last year, that Benji Marshall sort of flick pass that try they scored against the Titans? He was instrumental in that. But the last player to do that from the Broncos was Mick DeVea. He penned Wayne Bennett a letter and said, "Listen, I'm from Campbelltown."
You're right. Yeah, so Wayne has got a bit of a track record in that sense.
So if you want to play for the Broncos,
drop a letter. Just email.
Pick the phone up. Yeah, Wayne loves an email, apparently.
He's waiting to hear your call.
Tane, I can't wait until next Sunday. Mitchell Pearce's return to Allianz Stadium with the Newcastle Knights. So the Knights obviously play the Raiders this Sunday. Cannot wait for that game either. And then the following week, it sets up an absolute blockbuster. I was talking to a few of the Roosters players last week. They said, "You've been speaking to Junior?" Yeah, of course. How's he going? He loves it. New lease of life and can't get enough. I said, "Is there any funny banter or anything going on? Because it's not long away, this game." They said, "Nah, it's not yet. It'll start to wind up." They said, "The funny thing is, he does just quietly ask how Cooper's going in a quiet moment occasionally." So that battle, cannot wait to see how that transpires.
You'd imagine the crowd will be fairly generous towards him. We heard about, that Tedesco, the Tigers fans, got right into him, but that's the kind of the way that happened. Given that Mitchell Pearce with Cooper Cronk arriving, you'd imagine that the Roosters fans wouldn't be terribly anti him.
No, I couldn't see the Roosters fans booing Mitchell. I don't think Mitchell did anything wrong there.
I think they owe him quite the opposite because he didn't get to say goodbye, and he's given them a lot of good service over a long period of time. So I'm thinking exactly the opposite, Tony. They'll show him the respect that they probably that he deserves. And I think, obviously not wanting him to play well, but I think they'll be happy to see him there.
Mate, when I talked to a few Roosters fans, some of them are disappointed that he's moved on. Some of them thought that he should just stay there and learn from Cooper Cronk. I know it's easier to say now, but even if he would have stayed, mate, he could have played six or played hooker or something. But I know he's moved on. I think it's a good move for him. But a lot of blokes that I've talked to in and around like golf and that, the Roosters fans are disappointed that he left, but good luck to him.
Interesting you touch on that he could have played hooker there. I think that was actually pushed to Mitchell at one point, that look, if you want to shift in to the hooking role, we'd be happy to give that a crack. And I think that actually comes off the back of Matty Johns said, it might have been as far back as 12 or 18 months, and he thinks Mitchell Pearce would make a great hooker. Well, I reckon he would too, but I'll tell you what, he's doing a damn good job for 100%. The Newcastle Knights the way that they have started.
Best move for him.
And just finally, Tone, I love this story in relation to the Gold Coast Titans and Garth Brennan, I beg your pardon, and Conrad Hurrell. So Garth Brennan, you often hear players talk about how there's some coaches that players just really want to play for. And you say, well, what do you mean? Give us an example. And I asked that of a couple of Gold Coast players recently, and they said, well, Garth Brennan, there was a cyclone that had hit Tonga, and Conrad Harrell is from over there and in the islands, and he decided, Garth Brennan heard about it, and he went, oh, gee, you know, Connie's going to be doing it pretty tough. I might try and organise a trip for him during the preseason so that he can go back and see his family and make sure they're okay and do whatever he can to help out, use his NRL profile, whatever it was. But it was just a quality gesture from a head coach. So unbeknownst to Conrad, the Titans went and organised the plane trip, the airfares, everything, sorted it all out, got it all NRL approved, and then walked over to him at training and said, mate, there's your tickets. Don't worry about it. I wasn't going to pick you in that trial next week anyway. I just want you to go, and I want you to go and do what That's you feel brilliant. You need to do. Take as long as you like. So.
And you can see the best in Conrad Harrell now too.
Well, this is it. Then he's rewarded Garth Brennan by scoring the winning try last Sunday. So like those little things behind the scene, they make a lot of sense.
And that's what Wayne Bennett used to do with some of the players, like Steve Renoff, mate, go back to Mergen, or, you know, go back and see the family, and, you know, Shane Webke and that. But if you look at Conrad Harrell now, have a look on social media. He's got like an 8-pack. He never had an 8-pack like it at any stage. I'm serious. And he's fit as, and I think Nathan Peets has been getting him a little bit, so it's been funny. Mate, follow Nathan Peets and follow Conrad Harrell on Instagram. It's funny.
Jimmy Fox, thank you so much. Now we've got an odds update from Ubet's Jared Duffy. That is next. Right now, though, we do have that odds update. Ubet, your home for NRL betting in 2018. Head to ubet.com or download the Ubet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Duffy joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks, Tony.
That's good. It's the stats here for this game this afternoon, the Warriors and the Titans. They're kind of odd, aren't they? The Warriors have won, 13 of their last 16 against the Titans, but they've lost their last five at Mount Smart where it is today. Is there any money at all for the Titans?
Well, they're a pretty weird side, the Warriors, and there had been some money for the Titans, but it dried up when Ash Taylor was ruled out yesterday, Tony. So they were $3 prior to that. They're out to $3.50. The Warriors into $1.32. That handicap start was 8.5 points yesterday. It's got to 10 points now. We're seeing a little bit of money for the Titans to get within that 10 points, but no, unfortunately, with them out, punters have dropped off.
It's pretty popular these days, Daff, the fact that punters out there can bet during the game, and I'd imagine last week the Titans, well, they would have got out to a nice price against the Raiders.
Yeah, they did, Gerds, and we've seen some rather odd games, haven't we, already, week one and also two of them this round. They got out to $6.50 last week, and I've got to be honest, I wouldn't want to be
They could have been 100.
But even the Bronx last night got to $2.75 in the run.
Okay.
The Dragons on Thursday night were $3, so there's a bit of value there if you think size can come back. And as we've seen before, 18 points is nothing in this day and age.
Funny thing with these two sides, Jared, the Warriors and the Titans, a lot of people were tipping them for them to win the wooden spoon, but then they're both last start winners. Was there any change at all to the spoon market on the back of round one?
Yeah, there was, Hoops. Now, these two, along with West Tigers, were easily the best back sides to run last. Oddly enough, they all won. The Titans were at the 4.25 prior to Friday night's game, and the Warriors were out to $8, so their price is nearly doubled. West Tigers, they won last week. They're the favourites at $3.75, but the Dogs, poor old Dogs, have been the movers. They're into $5.50.
Wow. Okay. All right, Jared Duffy, always lovely to talk to you. Catch up again very soon.
Thanks, Tony.
Ubet, your home for NRL season 2018. Download the Ubet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. During the week, look, it's a story we've left till here. It's been discussed so much throughout the week. Of course, former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie being interviewed by Phil Gould and asked that question that John Grant obviously made a mistake while reading out the Australian Rugby League team, I think it was, about the name of Cronulla. Didn't get the Sharks. So that question was put to the new man who's running the ARL Commission. This is how it played out.
Before you're officially welcome, though, you've got to answer one question.
Right.
The team that plays out of the Sutherland Shire, is it the Cronulla Hawks, the Cronulla Seagulls, or the Cronulla Sharks?
Now, I've got to be honest, I would never have a bloody clue, but I'll know next week.
It's got to be Cronulla of some kind. It's too bloody hard, Gus. That's too difficult.
Gee whiz, the last chairman couldn't answer that question either. So
yeah, well, I've got to tell you what, I'm aiming to be better, but I never pretend to know what I don't know.
A little bit torn. I mean, it's obviously important, and it's obviously the people who are walking down the street who follow and love rugby league, you ask any of them, they're going to know that answer. He should know that answer.
I think he got confused by the question Tony. He didn't understand. He didn't understand that he was being asked, what is the name, what's the emblem of Cronulla, as in the NRL side. I think what he thought was, Gus was asking him something a little bit left field about one of the junior clubs down in the Shire.
That's where.
He was at the Cronulla game a couple of weeks ago in the sheds.
But he was in their sheds after round one when they got beat by the Cowboys.
Why didn't he say that on his social media where he said, I had a brain fade and I just got it wrong?
I think he has attempted to kind of clarify it over the course of the last week. But look, it was, there's no way of sugarcoating it. It was an embarrassing moment for Peter. And not only that, it was actually shot at 5 p.m. that afternoon. So it was a Channel 9 decision whether they played it or not. They obviously decided that they were going to roll with it. But, yeah, I'll tell you what,
it's made a hell of a lot of headlines. So he would have been just left stewing in his own juices.
Oh, no, I think they obviously told him. No, they obviously told him, you've said it, so we're going to run with it.
Yeah. I can understand, but it's not the worst thing. But he should know, but that's not the worst thing.
Well, it's not if he does go on to be able to do his job. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't preclude him from being able to do his job, but it's certainly something that the punter on the street is going to peeve.
Well, he started, prior to that, he kicked off with a flying run because everybody was happy to see the back of John Grant, who, of course, came up with the Cronulla Hawks and the Manly Seagulls prior to that. So it's just a shame that, in one of his opening outings, he has nicked one straight to Gilly behind the stumps off the great Gus Bowling.
Hey, boys, I'm having a good day today.
Oh, yeah,
I was just walking past one of the vending machines. Oh, yeah. I pressed a button and something fell out and I didn't put any money in it.
Really?
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you?
Whose money was it?
What's happened?
Why are you walking away from the microphone?
It just fell out.
Don't take your headphones off. You've already done this six times today.
Because you guys are having a shot at me about the other night.
Mate, Buzzard will give you a warning letter if you keep taking the cans off and walking off like that. You can't keep doing
that. What happened with it?
What are you talking about? What happened with the vending machine?
Mate, it's been done, boys. We did it Thursday.
What do you mean? What happened?
Okay. So, I'll tell you this story.
Okay.
So, sometimes the big man gets a little bit peckish. You know that, Gertie.
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah. And I've been eating quite well, and that's why I'm looking pretty shredded at the moment. But then, thanks, man. I know that. And then I felt like a little bit of a chocolate or something the other day, so I thought, okay, I'll hurry up and go out and get it half time. I put $10 in the vending machine, and it didn't give me nothing. Like,
Did you press the button?
I pressed the button. Oh, I tried to press the, reject. Help. Yeah, to get
the money back out?
Didn't give it to me. I was filthy. And then Maroon was walking. Then I said, mate, this machine has stolen my $10. And I was filthy. Anyway, so Maroon gives me a couple of bucks. Get the couple of bucks. And then I get my little snack. And then as I went back in, I'm thinking, I'm still filthy about it. Not so much a $10 because I don't care. $10 is nothing to me, you know. And as I sit down there, one of the boys come back and says, what about the machine? It just spat $10 back out of me.
Did you get it off him?
You know what? I got it off him. And, I said, no, you keep it. And he goes, no. And you know where that $10 is now?
Where?
Maroon doesn't know this, but it's in his little son's
money box.
That's a nice gesture because you know what Maroon did. Maroon's added a little bit of salt and pepper to that story as well. He reckons you went back and put a couple of shoulder charges on the.
He reckons you were shaking it.
You were shaking it. You've nearly tipped it upside down.
See, this is why you know Maroon. I love him, and he offers me to stay there, and then mate, come over, mate. We'll sit down there, and then so I give the $10 to his
son.
Yeah, no, his nephew.
His nephew. Beg your pardon.
So it's in the money box.
His son's 25.
Yeah, I know.
What's he giving him his money box?
Oh, no. And then he bags.
I don't know, maybe it was the
hey boys, this is what I don't like. And then he bags me. This is why. Where's Brad McNamara? This is why I stay at hotels, mate.
He's just out there. He's just out there.
See,
but he's not HR.
I'm not staying at Maroons again now.
I don't blame you.
Can we also throw it out there, Tony, to the listeners? Can we have some suggestions for names for Maroons cats, please?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cats.
Yeah.
They're unnamed.
Apparently, they have no names.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Peter Sterling is about to join us. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Mate, I don't mind a high five. I don't mind a bum slap. That's fine. I don't want that breathing stuff. The reason why it works for the All Blacks is because they've got a great roster. They're the All Blacks. So, Kieran, keep your stuff there. Warriors, you're not the All Blacks. Anyway, on that note.
On that note, yes. Lovely to have you company this afternoon. What great news. The legend himself, Mr. Peter Sterling, has walked in painted from head to toe green for St. Patrick's Day. Looking good. Garden gnome missing somewhere. But,
I
wish I'd have got in earlier, but a much longer right of reply. I will give you the tip on the green subject. If you want to have a quick bet on a Saturday and you wait until you get in here to work, don't go across the road on St. Patrick's Day to Scruffy Murphy's and think it's going to be a quick bet and an easy in and out. Yeah. So I've had to walk three blocks instead. So if I'm puffing.
Well, that was just the two Guinness that slowed you down.
Mate, coming in here, having you look at you dressed in those shorts, I should have had three or four Guinness, to be honest. And you've got them hitched. You've got them hitched.
What's hitched mean?
Hey, Harry Highpants.
Exactly. they're riding up the thigh when he sits on the
seat. Oh, it's just when I'm on the chair.
Yeah. it's a good look. How's your week been, Stella?
Yeah, wonderful, thanks. Yeah, I was out at Shark Park on Thursday night, enjoyed that. Another great game last night, the Queensland Derby. And, the footy's been great. Really enjoyed the footy. I want to praise the referees. I did last week. I like the fact that there is that line in the sand about the professional fouls now, and they've been consistent. Yep. And I think the game's better for it. And I like the fact that players are actually touching the ball with their boot in the play the ball situation. It slowed the ruck down just that touch, but I think in a good way. It's kind of evened up the defence v attack sort of scenario. Yeah. So I think it's been good. And
it's not that
it
hard
continues.
A job for a player to do it.
Well, with all due respect to Andrew Fifita, he is a serial offender. Yep. It was tunnel ball. But you watch him, he's actually touched. So it's getting through. If he's got it on board, then that's a great sign, and everybody else has as well.
Okay, well, let's just go back through a few of those games, as we have already. The Dragons, they won ugly, but you were impressed again with them?
Yeah, I thought they were good. I thought they won it in the first half, actually. I thought it was very reminiscent of the week before Penrith and Parra, where Parra had all the running, but only went in, they scored 14 points, as Cronulla did as well. The only difference was Wonga Blake scored just before halftime, whereas the Dragons scored just after halftime. But I thought both of those clubs, with the amount of football they had, the possession and certainly the field position, should have led by bigger margins at the break. And the Dragons hanging in the way they did in the second half, Cronulla almost imploded with the way they lost the football in the second 40. So, yeah, good performance. And there's a few little concerns from the Sharks. Obviously, Josh Dugan started at fullback. And when Shane Flanagan was asked, about the change after just 80 minutes, he said, well, when Katoa got hurt, he needed, a winger. Aaron Gray's a winger, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't Aaron Gray a specialist winger?
Yep.
Who comes into the centre? So, and I've got, Matt Moylan, I think, is a magic player. But I don't quite understand, if you get Matt Moylan, why you're playing like James Maloney. Otherwise, you may as well have just kept James Maloney. I thought they were a little bit predictable with all that ball in the first half. So I think there's some work to do for Shane, and to work out how Moylan fits into this lineup, and whether he's going to go with Dugan and Holmes. But the Aaron Gray thing sort of is a bit strange. If you need a winger,
You've got one.
You bring him up.
And, of course, you had the Coop Cronk, Tedesco. That combination for that try was sensational. But add that Luke Keary back and playing great footy in that game.
Yeah, he just continued on from where he was last year, wasn't he? And great running game. He's a wonderful foil for those two players that you mentioned. And I think, they were always going to hit back. Concerns for Canterbury, as you read in the press, and everyone's saying that, they've conceded 30 points in 2 weeks now. And that's not ideal. And they went back sort of their old ways a little bit, I thought, in this game. So it's a tough – a lot of changes at Cranberry. That was always going to take some time to fit in. But there was a bit of a decline from week two from week one.
Just going back to the Dragons for a second, Pete. I know it's only early days round two, but do you like what you've seen so far in terms of the combination from Ben Hunt and Gareth Widdop?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, raise the stats from game one. I think Ben Hunt had 58 touches in game one, Gareth Widdop 31, Hunt kicked 11 times to Widdop's 4. And that kind of indicates that he sort of override everything, but that wasn't the case. If you look at them, they just complemented each other really well. Like Gareth Widdop just got it at the right times and got involved at the right time, and Hunt took control. And I thought, again, in a match of very much of two halves, and I know every game is a game of two halves, but the wind was a factor the other night out there, and when the Dragons were under the pump in that first 40 minutes, Hunt and Widdop, they still found a way to maintain the closeness and have the team close enough when things turned around in the second half, and they did.
Did you hear Wayne Bennett's press conference?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Well, we might play it for you a little bit later. Just interested in your take on that. Again, it's that over-defensive thing that he does. Even though, obviously, coaching brilliantly, that team. That was a great win for them against the Cowboys.
Well, I haven't heard this, but I'm assuming it's an us again against them mentality. Yeah.
Pretty much.
He's worked with that for a long, long time. Very successfully, I have to say.
And the other thing I just wanted to pick your brain was earlier we were doing the best sidesteps of all time. Yours, of course, you mentioned Paul McGregor schooling you one day.
Yeah, Paul McGregor schooled me one day. Did you ever get schooled? Is that what you're going to ask? Yeah. Did anyone ever get you one day? Did he have a good sidestep, or was he just more of an in and away?
No, Zip was great. I don't want to get technical here, but there's footwork and there's sidesteps.
Yep.
Now the sidestep is when you plant one of the feet and you come and come back really hard. Graham Langlands was the best I ever saw. Brad Fittler probably just behind him. Stephen Ella was very, very good. Personal experience with Mary, I'm assuming, with yourself, Gerds. I go back as far to have seen a fair bit of Graham Langlands play. Mm-hmm. And that, like, when you're talking side steps, that was, he planted one foot there. I know this is radio and I'm pointing at the ground. Pointed one foot there and he ended up over there and they were metres apart.
Wow.
And Freddie, I thought, was superb as well.
Brilliant. And, of course, our best of best, of course, thanks to Mungrel Boots. Built for pure comfort, that's what a Mungrel Boot is. We're going to look at the games ahead of us today, all leading to the Warriors and the Titans. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. First of all, with Peter Sterling, Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, I'm Tony Squires. Let's have a little look at the other games this evening. A couple of good ones. The Panthers, who, despite all the talk going into round one, managed to get the points and look good, taking on the Rabbitohs, who went to Perth and were beaten surprisingly by the Warriors. What do you make of this game, Ryan Girdler?
Yeah, obviously I was a little bit surprised just talking to Pete then about some of the changes the Panthers made in the off-season, but really impressed with their attack. Thought they struggled in at times at the back end of last year with it, but he seems to just add a lot of confidence and composure. Maloney, just his presence, he's a great hole runner as well, and I think the way that Penrith play with pushing up with the football, it really suits their style, and he slotted in really comfortably. So, I think they'll be too good for the Rabbits, who a little bit, to me, like the Bulldogs, where they've worked a lot on their attack in the off-season, but somehow didn't seem to work a lot on their defence. And I think when you want to change direction, you can be a little bit guilty of that. So that would have been their focus this week, I'd imagine. The Rabbits, and they will defend better than what they did last week against the Warriors, but I still think Penrith will be too good.
Injury, obviously, to Adam Reynolds, not good for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, he had to go in for a little bit of surgery on one of his knees, a small clean-up, so he'll be missing for 4 weeks. It means that this young man by the name of Dewahi gets an opportunity later on this afternoon out at Penrith. He's actually the second cousin, Tony, to the Wallabies coach, Michael Checker. Look, there's been big raps on him. He featured for Lebanon during the World Cup, so he gets his crack today. What did you think of that, Pete? Were you surprised that Anthony Seibold has gone with a young bloke when he has got the experience of somebody like Robbie Farrer in his squad?
Well, I haven't seen the young bloke play, but obviously there's been a rap on him for a little while now, and it's a great opportunity, I suppose, early in the season. This first month, look, I wouldn't be surprised if South came up and won this game, because in the first month we get upsets. We saw that first round and sort of you don't quite know. Based on what we saw last weekend, Penrith should be strong favourites. But, no, it's a great show of faith in the young man, and, he's bided his time for a little while now. Robbie Farrer obviously would have been an option, but not a long-term one by any stretch of the imagination. I like Penrith. When I sat down and picked my top eight, I did it based on the rosters and the depth of rosters. I had Penrith finishing fifth, and I still think they'll have a really good season. I wasn't concerned last week that they started so poorly. They did everything they could possibly do wrong in that opening 20-25 minutes to went on to win the game. So it was a win the game. So it was a great sign. And South Sydney, they got a couple of dud calls last week. That one just before half time was a major turnaround. But if you're going to be a final side, then you've got to cop those bad calls and somehow still get the job done.
Let me ask you this, Pete, just with the Panthers, the tactic to start Regan Campbell-Gillard off the bench, I understand from an interchange point of view that you just make the one change on, he goes and then he stays the duration, but would you be tempted if you're the coach to, he just brings so much edge and so much intimidation to a forward pack for mine. I'd love to see him starting.
I think during the course of the season, there'll be both. There'll be times where they'll put him in. It worked really well for them last year at times when they made that second half run into finals football. He was a big part of that. I'm sure he would rather start.
Yeah.
But, you know.
All players would.
And Viliama Kikau, well, he's just a beast as well. And I'd imagine that he'll probably come off the bench again, especially in the hot weather this weekend. So I don't think we'll see too much change. It's a nice situation to be in for Coach Griffin to be able to use him either way. But he's got a good motor, Campbell Gillard, and he plays aggressively. And you want him in your football team.
As I mentioned, Adam Reynolds out for up to a month, you'd imagine. That injury report, thanks to Skills Certified, get your trade qualification with the help of Skills Certified Australia. Just in terms of Robbie Farrow, I mean, he's talked in years gone past about, you know, not wanting to play anything but first grade. What does it mean for him? Do you see him coming back within this season?
Well, look, certainly. I think, you know, Robbie's only an injury away from being straight back into the South Sydney side. And depending on results, I mean, I imagine if things don't go well for the Bunnies to start the year, then perhaps Damien Cook's position comes under review. And just at this stage, Anthony Seibold has made it clear that he wants an 80-minute hooker. That's his preference. That gives him more versatility in terms of what he can do with his interchange bench. But no, I don't think we've seen the last of Robbie Farrow in the NRL by any stretch. He's still signed at the Bunnies for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I think he'll play a role. I think you'll see him at some stage for those very reasons that you pointed out. And yeah, he doesn't want to apparently go to England and finish his career in the Super League. He's not talking about retirement. So he's doing what he can do, and that's hanging in there, working hard and waiting for his opportunity. And a lot can change in a week in our game, as you know. Yep. You're sitting taller than I've seen you for a long time.
Yeah, it's in my contract that I have to sit taller than anybody else in the studio.
It's not just on the back of two Dragons victories.
Right? Exactly. That and the phone book. No, I am very proud. I'm proud as punch of what the Dragons. But we've been there last year and won six of the last 17, so, you know.
And he jumps off pretty quick as well, Pete, so next time you come in, he might be laying on the floor.
That's right. Just on the back of that lighter note, we have got a little bit of breaking news here, fellas. Anthony Maroon's just texted in, and he said, mate, I'm not joking, a woman named Bev Noonan from Noonan National Vending Machines just called the control room and said Wendell can get his money back if he has a statutory declaration signed by a JP.
I love it. When we come back, we're going to talk about Billy Slater. 300 games, that happens this evening. We'll get to that one. And, of course, the kickoff, the Warriors and the Titans. Warriors and the Titans, Mount Smart Stadium, both first up winners last weekend. Not a stat that many were thinking was going to happen. It has, though. That Warriors side has always looked great on paper, started very well. Sterlo, what do you think about this afternoon?
I don't quite know what to think.
And I
think if you've watched the Warriors play for a long, long time now, you're in exactly the same position. Great performances from both teams last week at 18-0 down after 12 minutes. As I said during the week, Garth Brennan, he was looking at his job as a policeman in much more attractive terms than he had for quite a while. But they ran the Raiders down, a wonderful result. The loss of Ash Taylor is absolutely enormous because they got back into that game on his shoulders, I think. And the Warriors, they looked great. But, you know, you've got to reproduce that. You've got to be consistent. Both of these clubs come off really poor seasons, very similar seasons. They both won 7 games and lost 17 each. They scored about the same amount of points, terribly defensively, and the Gold Coast were even worse than the Warriors last year. So I'm just really looking forward to sitting down and watching these two clubs back up what they did last week. And again, we're going to know a lot more about them in weeks to come. But week one was really promising.
Yeah. I would imagine Stephen Kearney's probably a little bit upset the fact that Ash Taylor is out today, because that could be something the Warriors of old, I'm not saying the new model, but the Warriors of old might have looked at that and said, oh, we might just take it a little bit easier today. So, yeah, probably not a great lead up for the Warriors, who I'd imagine would have done a fair bit of work on Ash and the way that he got the side back into that contest last week. Look, the fundamentals were good from the Warriors last week. We know they can play footy, but they completed high, over 80%. And, they looked really fit. They were diligent. They didn't miss a lot of tackles. So all aspects of their game were in order. But as Pete said, it's all about, you know, repeat performances.
So you're saying, Gerds, last year they were a little bit unlucky that in most of the games that they came into, there was a key player that pulled out of the other team. And they thought to themselves, oh, we can take it a little bit easier this way.
You think that happened?
And they did that 17 times.
I'm just thinking, though, Stephen Kearney is probably want to go into this week, you know, coming up again and testing his players a little bit more, because, you know, they were impressive last week. And I'm thinking that, is that a little excuse for them, Pete, if they come off and they don't play well and then background, it's like, oh, well, Ash didn't play and maybe, you know, we're ready for him to compete.
Hopefully for Warriors fans, the addition of Blake Green starts to iron those kind of kinks out where perhaps the Warriors of old certainly hugely inconsistent, but from what we saw Blake do with Manly last season and Melbourne the year before, he's clearly a really quality, balanced, great game manager. So, yeah, hopefully the Warriors, they might be onto something good there.
Yeah, I'm going to throw Toru Harris in there as well.
Yep.
I think he's that kind of influencer. You know, I think they bought Ryan Hoffman for the same kind of reason. But alongside Blake Green, I think Harris is going to be a really good signing for them. A lot of talk about Sean Johnson. He was fantastic last week. Yep. I've always felt a bit sorry for Sean in, you know, it's not just simple and easy to say someone's got to run more. It just, you know, that's not the way that, you know, I know it sounds as though that's what you can do, but the conditions have to be right and, you know, you've got to be, everybody's got to be doing the job for Sean to be able to run the football like all we right. know that he does.
And that's the way it will be as Triple M rocks the footy.